Harry Potter is probably the most lengthy movie series. It has like 8 movies. And the first movie that I ever saw, I had not read the books at all. I went with a friend of mine to the, jumped into the 5th movie. So you jump into the 5th sequel of Harry Potter and you get in there. And while all the special effects were dazzling and all the cool, it was a cool movie, but I didn't understand a lick of it. I hadn't seen all of the beginning parts and I didn't know where it was going. So I enjoyed it, but it didn't do much for me. I submit to you also, if you jump in the Bible story at Matthew, you're missing just a ton. You're missing a ton of richness because everything that preceded Matthew was built up and there was threads of plot line that go through the scripture and then find their fulfillment in Christ, and you see it so much more richly when you understand how Matthew begins to just burst on the scene. Just also another movie illustration here. In the early stages of my marriage, when I would watch a movie with my wife, I kept asking my wife, okay, explain it to me, dear, explain it to me, dear. I don't understand what's going on. I hadn't learned, outside of Star Wars, I knew what Star Wars was all about, but I hadn't really learned to be understanding of how movies were put together. For example, in The Lord of the Rings, okay, if you're not Harry Potter fans, Lord of the Rings, any Lord of the Rings fans? Okay, now, I had not read all of the C.S. Lewis books on Lord of the Rings as well, and as you begin to see my black background, you're saying, Brent, is he some kind of a cultural illiterate clod? Yes, I probably am, but I did not spend a lot of my time reading growing up. I spent most of my time watching Star Wars and playing video games, okay? So not a whole lot of reading going on. So I did not learn classic literature, understanding how good literature was put together, and good movies are put together in a particular way as well. So Lord of the Rings, the first movie, when Gandalf comes in and is explaining to Frodo about the ring and the dangers associated with the ring, and Frodo's got to go and throw it into the fire, Frodo's hesitant. And Frodo asks, well, nobody knows about the ring, right? And Gandalf says, there is another one who knows about the ring. And again, I hadn't read the backstory and all this. And the movie cuts to a particular castle where the evil people are, and you hear this scream. Does anybody remember this scene? Okay, what the scream is Gollum screaming, being tortured. Now, that is very, very clever artistry in movie making, because they are putting Gollum as the one who knew about the ring. How did the evil guys get the information out of him? Well, they were torturing him. So, there is another who knows about the ring, and then all of a sudden you have this juxtaposed scene right next to it. Here's how they knew about the scene. Gollum was tortured in order to get the information out about Bilbo Baggins. An informed movie watcher, an informed man who knows about how the movies are put together, understands that the director did that in order to continue to carry forth the story, in order to give a flashback on the story plot line. So there's flashbacks in the movie that carry forth the plot line to begin to get the movie watcher up to speed as well. And so I didn't even know those. I'm okay with watching movies, and I begin to understand all their little tricks and everything, and I can't remember the last time I've asked my wife, Janet, what's going on in this movie? Now she asks me what's going on in the movie, because I've learned a little bit more. The reason why I never did understand some of that is because I'm an engineer. I like linear flow charts. Give me A, B, C, D, E. None of this literary artistry kind of thing going on. It confuses me, but once I began to understand how things go together, there's a rich tapestry of artistry going on. And here's what I'm saying to you. The Old Testament narratives are like modern day movies. They are the modern day epic movies. So the Old Testament narrative, God's rich storyline of the history of redemption, is like the most epic movie that we can ever behold. So the biggest ones that I've seen so far, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, these epic storylines with plotline threads that go throughout everything. And let me give you a few examples. So, well, even before that, I'll give you some examples in just a moment. Another reason that I began to fall in love with the Old Testament, it didn't start out as a good thing, as far as it was a scary thing in the beginning. I was ministering here at Purdue as a college minister, and I encountered a messianic believer. And he began to challenge me on, Brent, why don't Christians celebrate, you know, the Jewish festivals? Why don't Christians celebrate those holidays like Passover in the sense of the way that they did Passovers? And he understood about Jesus Christ being resurrected. He was a messianic believer, but he knew the Old Testament so very well. And I found myself in a position where I could not defend why I did what I did in my belief system. So that set me on a path to begin to know the Old Testament more and more, because I wanted to see if the things that he was saying were true. If he was accurate, I would have to begin to go an entirely different path than the path that I'm on right now. Faith Church doesn't practice the Feast of Booths or anything like that, or we don't practice Sabbath day in the sense of the Jewish messianic believer. So in my efforts to begin to try to see if the things that he said were true, what I found was a rich repository of just beauty in the Old Testament, and I found patterns after patterns that made me fall more in love with my Savior. And so when I see those things, I want to teach those things and say, I want you to know those things too, and I want you to read the Old Testament and fall in love with it the way that I have, so that you fall in love with your Savior more. So, movies. The Old Testament narratives are like the movies of today. For example, they have intricate plot lines. Let me give you an example of that. Again, you do not have to take notes. You don't have to take notes on this. Just listen for a second. They have like epic plot lines. Movies have slick narrative scene placements, and so does the Old Testament. I'll show you examples of that. The Old Testament has foreshadowing and flashbacks. It has all of that kind of stuff as well. It has continued repetition of scenes that begin to reinforce what's going on. They are like the movies. So if you like the movies, you like the Old Testament. Now, in contrast, what are Paul's New Testament letters like? Paul's New Testament letters, they're more written for people like engineers, like me. Logical precept among logical precept. And we are geared toward that in our Western society. I'm standing up here at a lecture podium dispensing information. And normally we have PowerPoint presentations. I'm departing from that. Normally we have PowerPoint presentations and they're in outlines. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. Paul's letters are very much like that. Very much easy to follow. Well, Peter didn't think so all the time. Sometimes they're easy to follow. Sometimes there's hard things to understand, more the theological concepts, but very sequential. That is not how the Old Testament narratives piece together the truth of the word of, well, the history of redemption. So epic plot lines, let me give you one. Let's start in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, you don't even have to turn there. Don't turn there, just think about this for a second. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me put it in this way, heaven and earth were combined. Heaven and earth, when you normally think of heaven, what do you think of? When you normally think of heaven, that's where God is, right? Earth. That's where we are. Okay, but in Genesis chapter 1 and 2,